Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Certainly believe that lockdowns have caused large amounts of deaths in the United States and across the world. And so perhaps if we had had a freer exchange of ideas during those critical months, perhaps we would have been able to avoid some of the terrible policies that we've seen take such huge tolls in parts of the world and in other parts of our country here in the United States.
Governor DeSantis yesterday doing a, hey, let's bring the band back together and have another video so that we can get taken down off of YouTube again. This is amazing. You have, look, but remember what was always said. If they can tear down a president, they can take a president off of social media, why not take a governor off? You know, what's the limit? YouTube making the decision, you know, Google YouTube, as he likes to call it, Google YouTube, making the decision to take a video off of a roundtable discussion that they had about a month or so ago with several of these various healthcare experts. That's contrary to the most common narrative about the pandemic. And YouTube says, yeah, no can do with that. We're taking it down. It's you can disagree with the content of a video that's put on, but you cannot say you believe in things like free speech, open discussion of ideas, let the marketplace and the competitive presentation of concepts decide who's right and who's wrong. You can't say you believe in science if you're not willing to listen to the dissent. It's one of these like weird things about the history of science that the scientists and people who advocate for science, and you know, the left likes to say, we believe in science. Well, okay, good. I mean, we do too, you know. But you've got to believe in the ability, especially you've got to protect the ability of those who don't see it the mainstream way to have their say. But what has so often been the case in the history of science is that you have a revolution. And then the revolutionaries, they become the insiders, and then they work to exclude any new outsiders from challenging their position of power. All the while, the former revolutionaries celebrate the revolutionaries, saying the outsider who disagrees, the dissenter, they're the wonderful, amazing heroes. You know, the Galileo who's threatened with death, you know, these are the folks that are wonderful. And then when they get power, they don't want to hear anything from people who disagree with them. And yet the virtue of science is exactly the fact that it can correct its mistakes. It can change because one or two or three people have an idea. Say, I don't think it really works that way. And then they're allowed to do the research and they do the research. And a lot of times they fail and they're wrong. And that's fine. But what often happens is they're opposed so heavily by the majority or so-called majority, the insiders, the institutionalists, that who celebrate the revolutionary capability of science. So back to this, you have people who don't see things the same way as the sort of mainstream idea presenters do. And yet in the process of presenting their ideas, they're looking at studies and research and what the World Health Organization says, for example, about kids wearing masks. And that gets them flagged and taken down.
You had those corporate media outlets, particularly the New York-based corporate media, you know, they were very favorably disposed to that censorship. And some of our biggest media conglomerates who claim to be avatars of the First Amendment and free exchange of ideas, they've really become cheerleaders for censorship. If something doesn't fit the overriding narrative, then in their view, it's better that it get left on the cutting room floor. It's best that you edit it out of existence rather than actually tell people the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with him. Let people say their stuff. Now, there may be limits, but really the governor of a state's hosting a roundtable with, you know, very storied scientists and researchers, and that's going to get you taken down off of the internet? I mean, it's amazing. And as Dr. Jay Bhattacharya said yesterday, science needs that open debate. If we need it in politics, We certainly also need it in science.
And saying, look, it disagrees with the CDC is not enough of a reason. Let's hear the argument. Let's see the evidence that YouTube used to decide it was misinformation. Let's have a debate. Science works best when we have an open debate. Governor, I also agree with your interpretation of the role of the media in this. Censorship is not consistent with American norms. American norms involve, again, free exchange of ideas. I think our conversation around COVID had been deeply, deeply sort of enfeebled by this sort of notion that there's some things you can and cannot say.
Enfeebled is such a great word. It's been weakened. It's been made infirm. It's been made feeble by the limitation on the things that you can and cannot say and the questions that you can and cannot raise. You know, look, I think that for example, I think that the mask dissenters are wrong. I think that the vaccine dissenters are wrong. But I'm unhearing from them. A lot of these people are my friends. I have no problem hearing their disagreement or their point of view. The notion that people who dissent should be stifled, it's so wild. You got, like, protest HB1 because the people who want to riot and do damage to property say you've got to protect the right to protest and dissent. You absolutely have to protect the right to protest and dissent. Same people seem to be fine with government censorship of dissenting views on the pandemic. It's bizarre the way these alliances just totally conflict with each other. Think about something as simple as like global climate change, okay? What have you heard? If you've heard it once, you've heard it thousands of times. The vast majority of scientists agree, right? The vast majority of scientists, well, look, science doesn't work that way. It's just not how you decide truth in science. But if that's true, that should be all the more reason to protect the ability of people who don't see it that way to do their work, ask their questions, try to prove their point, get their papers peer-reviewed, and so forth. But it's been the opposite. So much effort to stifle disagreement and dissent on a topic is exactly why people don't trust so-called modern science. Because it's not doing science. And again, to make sure you get this point, the people who say, for example, global climate change, and who call people deniers who ask questions about it, will turn around in the same seminar and laud the virtues of an outsider like a Galileo or, you know, somebody who challenges, or Copernicus, somebody who challenges the ideas. You know, the Einstein is amazing for challenging the ideas. It was you. It was the academic institution that tried to stifle them. Exactly the same way that you then stifle things like questions about global climate change. And I mean, it's, humans are fascinating. if you want consistency and logic and rationale and, you know, I mean, don't look to humans. You will not find it. 6:16 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Channel 3 News.
A Channel 3 News viewer sent us this video taken outside their home this weekend.
And this is Maplewood Drive in Gulf Breeze.
The early morning storm flooding the road. Now take a look at this same road Monday. The floodwaters gone.
When a big truck or something would come down the street, the wave would go right into the garage.
Donald Heath just moved into his home in October, and he's already tired of this problem.
We just cleaned up the debris yesterday, all of us. Neighbor had his car flooded.
Yeah, look, it's kind of a weird coincidence, but we happened to take our bike ride in this area on Sunday, and it was a mess. Maplewood right there at Redwood Lane, which is on the western edge of the West or Old West Tiger Point Golf Course. And it's kind of funny because I was taking some pictures. I didn't wind up posting it yet to Facebook. But my wife's like, "Oh, you're taking pictures. You're looking at the flooding." I'm like, "Yeah." She says, "You know," and this was again on Sunday. This is two mornings or the morning after, really. The flood had come or the rain had come in, and she said Channel 3 had a story. And I'm like, "Did they?" But then it aired yesterday, so I guess they had it online, but maybe not on TV. So, yeah, it's bad in that area. This is right off of where they have the water processing facility, the water reclamation facility right there, and all in that area, the flooding was so bad. What an interesting neighborhood, too. Davis, I know your folks live in that area, right? Mm-hmm. Or roughly in that vicinity.
Yeah, around that area.
I don't mean to get into all of this right now, but one thing that I saw that I thought was worth noting, and you tell me how it's changed over the last, 15 years since I've been, something like that. If you go on the West Course where there's no golf course anymore, the homes in that area are, I'll just say it, markedly less good in terms of value compared to the homes on the east side of the country club. The homes on the east side where the East Course is active are exactly what you expect to be surrounding a golf course, you know, maintained well, very good value. The only time you find that's not the case is when you get over into the canals on the south side and then to the east of that, like Laguna. There's some real nice homes there. But on the western edge and the northern part, northwestern part of the golf course, it just doesn't look like it's not a great neighborhood, unfortunately, compared to the other side. And what I wondered is, and I haven't lived here long enough to know, but you tell me, is I wonder if the loss of the golf course had an effect on the neighborhood property values and the way things are. I don't know the answer. Do you?
I believe it plays a role. Now, my family, they live in that area post Ivan, yeah. Like way post Ivan.
Okay.
So, and also I lived in Tampa when Ivan happened, but I'm very familiar with Gulf Breeze nonetheless. That area used to be way nicer. And nicer. You know, some of those houses are still good.
Oh, no doubt.
When you're on that side, if you compare it to the east side, it is almost night and day.
Yeah, if you went over there and went from one to the next, you can't help but notice the difference between them. And so I just thought that was interesting, especially since I know folks on that side were the ones who were so frustrated with the city/county over the decision not to recreate or reinvigorate the West Course. And I can see why. I can see why you'd be angry about that. I'm not saying I think the county made or the city made a bad decision. I'm just saying I understand the perspective. You know, you think you're on a golf course and then you're not. I'd be angry too. Plus then to think it's coming back and it doesn't. I'd be angry too. 6:24, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
We've got the audio from that body cam video in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first this morning,
breaking news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's a blow for Johnson & Johnson. The FDA and CDC have just announced they're recommending a pause in the use of the vaccine.
Wow.
The move comes amid concerns about possible links between that vaccine and blood clots in some who get that single-dose shot. We're expecting further details at a 9 o'clock news conference this morning, but FDA and CDC just announcing they're recommending a pause in the use of the J&J COVID-19 vaccine.
Wow, that is a big development. Okay.
In Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, the police chief says he thinks it was an accidental discharge that led to the police shooting death of Dante Wright. Chief Tim Gannon showing that body cam video of the shooting. Brooklyn Center's mayor calling for that officer to be fired, saying such mistakes that lead to a loss of life cannot be made. A pair of two tiny terriers come out on top after fighting a bear in Southern California. Home security. There's always home security.
There's always
video. Shows a bear that got into a woman's kitchen. That's when her dogs went on alert. Squirt and Maymay ran the bear away from the house. Just like they're supposed to do.
Exactly right. I love that. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. By the way, I got a note in from a friend that said that area around the West Course has always been less expensive and markedly different area versus the homes and neighborhood on the East. So not just post-Ivan. This person told me back into the early 90s as well, so which is worth saying. Want to get Philip in now or after the break? Can get him in real quick right now?
We'll take a quick traffic and go straight to
Philip. Yeah, all right. So go ahead and give me traffic first.
Because all we guys notice out there is that the back gate, front gate, I should say, of NAS Pensacola is backed up to beyond Central Avenue now. And just keep in mind, if you're going on Avalon and Garson Point Bridge this morning, checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
All right. Philip lives off of Maplewood and wanted to call in at 437-1620. Philip, what's on your mind this morning, sir?
Well, I just want to tell you, my wife grew up in that neighborhood. South of there on Laurel Drive down on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that neighborhood historically has flooded during heavy rain like that. But we get that flooding now more often than not in recent years. I think since the city is not maintaining the drainage, if you go right there, Circle Drive and Maplewood,
yeah,
there's a drainage that runs from the golf course.
Yeah.
Since the golf course hasn't been maintained, that drainage right there is overgrowing with grass and trees. And I think that's part of the problem.
interesting, because I did notice that little drain area, that overland down drain that goes into the canal right off of the bay there. So interesting. All right. Hey, Philip, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 627 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I know the commissioners listen, and so I'll make sure to get them that information to follow up on it. I appreciate it. I'm Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. No sooner do I say it than I got a text in from County Commissioner Colton Wright, who says, yep, I'm working on this. I'm absolutely aware. He was interviewed on Channel 3 last night, and he's a good friend from Leadership Santa Rosa as well. But he is in that district, and he is definitely looking at all of that, trying to figure out if there's not a solution, including that issue of that drainage being maintained that runs over from the golf course, the former golf course, out into the water. So caller, appreciate that, Philip, and rest assured the commissioner has heard you and is looking into all of those things to see what might be able to be done. 630 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Why is housing so expensive, and where are all these people coming from? We'll talk to David Peden coming up in just a moment about exactly that.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. After being stuck at home for a year, we may soon be in the mood to shop for some new fashions. There's only one problem. Port congestion and snarled shipping means store racks could have less selection or even last year's fashions. In a recent survey conducted by Jefferies, when consumers were asked what category they would like to spend discretionary dollars on once the pandemic subsides, clothing and accessories came in second behind bars, restaurants, and pubs. But as we hit the mall again, we may not find what we want, or will face steep price increases. China's exports soared 30.6% in March from a year ago as global consumer demand strengthened. Exports rose to $241 billion, decelerating from the dramatic 60.6% rebound in the first 2 months of 2021. Imports rose 38% over a year ago. Those are signs that global economic and trade activities are recovering and market confidence is increasing. On Wall Street, futures slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
I think housing prices show what's happening as well, and I think it's certainly good. I love to see rising housing value. It means more people are coming here, and I think that's totally what's happening. But we're getting to a point where rising home values are now potentially going to become problematic for us. We love affordable housing. We want to push affordable housing opportunities. But any housing opportunity at this point is going to be critical.
Oh, my gosh. What is going on with our housing in this area? The prices just keep going up and up and up. The cost of wood is increasing all the time, so construction projects are more expensive. We know the ribbon cutting on the Bellevue Library yesterday, and that price on that facility has skyrocketed. You can't find people to do your construction because either they're not working, or if they are, they're already on other jobs. It's crazy times in Northwest Florida. Joining us now, we have David Peden. He is the Executive Director of the Home Builders Association of West Florida. David, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, good to have you. Let me start with kind of a preliminary question to all of this. My wife and I were having this conversation yesterday, or 2 days ago, and she says to me, Andrew, where are the people coming from? Like, where is all of this? You know, where is the surge of demand for more houses in our area? Like, physically, where is that coming from? Is it coming from people who already live, like, with their parents, who live in apartments, who live outside of the state? Where is it coming from?
Well, that's a good question. I think the pandemic has heightened the response of people moving to this state, as well as Texas. I'm hearing from my builders. We've got people from California coming to Florida, paying cash to build a brand new home, and then they tell their friends about it, and they move here too. And that's on a higher end scale. But in general, it's the high tax states, the advantages we have in Florida, and the opportunity to move across state lines to get away from states that are shut down that are causing some of this, not all of it, but Florida is a growth state. It always has been. And when we hear our politicians and our governor on down talk about we're having 1,000 people a day move to the state, it is a thing that the politicians promote. And they say, hey, our doors are open. And that's a good thing, but it's also a challenging thing for an industry that is trying to keep up with the demand. And that's what we're seeing, the pressures on pricing, materials, labor, and those things that come with it.
I'm very concerned about a year or two or three from now, because what I see right now is, and you mentioned the factors, but, you know, I see people coming here from elsewhere. I see people coming here from cash flush areas. I mean, we all know that the same home in Florida in here in the panhandle, that might be, you know, let's say it's 250 in California, it might be 750. So they've got the money, right? And so they don't mind paying to build these homes or to buy these homes. But of course, that drives up your comps, which drives up all of your prices. Then you've got the material scarcity and even the labor scarcity. And by the way, that's another part of my question. We're so far into this pandemic now. Why do we still have material scarcity? Can we not just cut down more trees? I mean, why is it hard to get cheap wood anymore?
That's something that we are struggling to find out, especially with lumber prices that have gone up more than 180% since last spring.
Right.
It's caused an average of cost of $24,000 a home across the country.
Wow.
And locally, what we're hearing, you know, people that own farmland and tree farms in Alabama and Florida, they talk about the value of their land and what they call stump pricing. And they have not seen an increase in the demand for their tree farms. So if there's no demand at the bottom, why is the prices spiking at the top?
Yeah.
And our National Association of Home Builders has asked the Biden administration to look at it with the DOJ to look into to what is happening. And, you know, for years we've heard it's Canadian softwood lumber, the tariffs that come into our country. The logging industry in Oregon and Washington State has been regulated to a point where it's not profitable to go harvest those trees. So the forestry management system is out of whack. And you hear all these variety of different things, but nobody can really put a pinpoint why that is happening. But when the builders are looking, especially at the lower end, when you're talking about the police officers, firefighters, teachers, the working force, they are having a difficult time finding those affordable houses. And,
right.
And frankly, the builders cannot build them at affordable prices. Everything has gone up with the demand. And then factor in that, too, with windows are also back-ordered. Appliances are, too. States like Michigan that are shut down still. You know, Whirlpool's is based in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and they've got factories in Michigan and other parts of the country that are not at full capacity with their assembly line. So that's also creating increased pressures.
So we do have some supply elements affected by the pandemic, and as you say, windows or appliances, or and wood is one that's a little harder to understand. Which is concerning, but that's a part of it. What about the labor market? Everybody that I talk to says we can't hire enough people. We know the story with restaurants. We know the story with government employees. Are you guys able to, I mean, everybody that I know that owns a business is basically hiring. So are you guys, as home builders, are you short of labor? Is it hard to find enough people to do the physical work? How's that looking for you?
That's part of it as well. We work at the local level with our high schools and getting people involved or getting them, exposed to the construction industry, be it carpentry or HVAC and plumbing and electrical and those type things. And when the economy is good, the schools, the next level of PSE and University of West Florida cannot get enough students in because they're out there working in the field. They're trying to find jobs.
Right.
But with any business or any industry, I'll have my electrical contractors tell me we'll have a hiring of 3 people. We will have 10 applications. And after we get to the screening, the drug test, and everything like that, we'll wind up with maybe one good one. And it's changing the mindset of for so many years of college. And I think it's reached a tipping point where I think our state and national leaders are talking about, let's get back into where you can get a job out of high school and teach a trade. And they don't understand that these kids could get out of school and start making good money immediately. And not only that, as time goes on, they can start their own business and do exceptionally well in any type of trade. But so we are seeing that there's always been a struggle with labor, and especially after Hurricane Sally, only increased the demand for repairs and on people's homes and things of that nature. So
that makes sense to me too. Is obviously Sally put demand pressure, because if you've got, you know, the people who could do the building are the people who could do the rebuilding, and now you're not just building homes, but you're trying to restore and do roofs and all that kind of stuff. We're talking to David Peden. He is the executive director of the Home Builders Association of West Florida. David, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because it's such really interesting information. Hang on for me for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen.
Well, a quick check of the front gate of an ESPN. Pensacola still backed up around the area of Central Avenue. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, and I received a report that Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge at the moment checking in clear. So good news there. I'm David Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Back to David Peden. David, you know, I think I've told you before, we lived in Phoenix in, 08, 09. We saw the surge. We saw the California exodus, and we saw not just that, but the nationwide, what happened with the economy. And we saw the crazy burst bubble, go up, buying $100,000 homes for $250,000, and then right back to $80,000 2 years later. I'm worried that we're going to see something like that because of this quick increase, and especially investors and out-of-state buyers and all that kind of stuff. What do you see happening in the next, say, 1 to 2 years with this current trend in home prices going so high?
Well, it's always been difficult to forecast what's going to happen in the future, of course. And I'm seeing in certain areas of town, and I scratch my head and think, who in the heck is buying that house for that kind of price? And not only that, when they come on the market, they get asking offer or sometimes $10,000-$20,000 above asking offer just to get that house. So that's just how the market works. And from what we've been told by forecasters, and there's one guy named Edsel Charles out of Tennessee who does regional forecasting, and he predicted the downturn, the Great Recession, years ago. And when he's done his presentations for us locally, he predicts 2032 before we see the next downturn in the housing industry.
Wow.
How he predicts that, I don't know, but he was spot on the last time, so I'll bet on him again.
Are you also seeing a high rate of, and I don't really know the answer to this, but we always hear about affordable housing, and it's very difficult for people to get first housing or even first rental. I know rental prices have shot up tremendously here locally, which is understandable, because if you've got a rental house and you could sell it and make more money, and it's not feasible to rent it anymore at that price based on the rental market. I mean, are you seeing a lot of properties that convert from rent to ownership as a part of competing against this demand for new homes, for example? Are you seeing much of that?
I don't have the information on that. That's not my wheelhouse a little bit with the rental market.
Okay. I was just curious if you might know, because that's the other side of this, is I'm always hearing from our elected leaders about affordable housing and low-end housing, and, you know, I can see why it'd be hard to find, especially in this rising market right now. Well, David Peden, he is the executive director for the Home Builders Association of West Florida. David, really good information, really interesting. Thanks so much for, answering a lot of my questions and helping me have a better perspective. I'm sure people find it fascinating. But thanks for the time, man. And by the way, congratulations on your appointment to the Escambia Children's Trust board. So you were put onto that by the governor, approved of that. So congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on. It's been anytime you need me, just give me a call.
Absolutely. 649 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Gas. Pass 286, Florida 284, Bridgeport, California 519, Fort Worth, Texas at a 209. In Navarre, it's 282 going east at the Walmart, 273 west of the Walmart. Boy, they are the best if it is still that price, nestled in a bunch of 289s. 289 up 87 in Gulf Breeze, 275 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge there at the Murphy across the street. In Milton this morning, 277 at the CEFCO, 275 at the Walmart in Pea Ridge, 285 in Pace. Over into Pensacola, 259 at the Walmart on the south side of 9 Mile, 264 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 278 at the Navy Exchange, 279 at the TNC on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with your lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The FDA calling for an immediate pause using J&J single-dose vaccine. Serious concerns about clotting. NBC News medical contributor Dr. Natalie Azar.
As you know, we've been following now for a couple of weeks the story from the UK and the concern about these rare clotting events associated with the AstraZeneca vaccine. And we just started hearing reports that a similar situation could be occurring here in the U.S.
With the J&J, six American women between the ages of 18 and 48 developed that rare disorder. One died, a Nebraska woman hospitalized in critical condition. Minnesota mayor calling for the officer who killed Dante Wright to be fired. She's on leave after the police chief described Sunday's incident as an accidental discharge. And a new movie, Will Smith, first major production being moved out of Georgia because of the new voting law there. It's called Emancipation. It will now be filmed in Louisiana.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, after 12 seasons with the same team, Julian Edelman announcing that he is retiring from the game of football, spending his whole career with the New England Patriots. He was a seventh-round draft pick as a quarterback, switched to the wide receiver position, and he has had a career that's involved three Super Bowl wins, also one of them being an MVP, and also he's a second all-time in receptions for a playoff contender. So congratulations to an awesome career. I would argue a Hall of Fame career.
The other big target in New England.
Yes, the other one. And also, keeping it in football, the New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton, he's going to be featured in a movie. Adam Sandler's production company, Happy Madison, is going to be doing a movie of, is a true story about Payton's year off from football when he was banned from coaching. During that year off, he coached his son's middle school team, and I guess there was a whole lot of wacky things that happened. I don't know. He's going to be played by Kevin James.
Oh,
so that'd be fun.
Weird. Okay.
I don't really see the resemblance,
no.
But it'll be fun. All right. I'm going to go ahead and roll this into your traffic on the fives. I am now starting to see some delays on Avalon Boulevard going northbound around Tuscarora Trails, where I'm noticing these northbound delays. Also seeing some slight buildup going north and southbound over at that intersection of Avalon and Garcon Point Road. And Gulf Breeze Parkway, I am noticing delays backing up around the area of the Winn-Dixie parking lot. So we'll keep an eye on that. Again, that's eastbound Gulf Breeze Parkway. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
.658 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. In future news, Davis and I tell you the truth before it's true. Johnson & Johnson, CDC recommending a pause in the administration of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Will that resume, and if so, when?
It will resume. Give it about a month and a half or so.
I think it'll be shorter than that. I think it might be a week or so, but I do think it'll resume. Will this officer be charged for firing the gun instead of the taser? Will she be fired for that?
I think she'll be fired, not charged.
I agree. Fired, not charged, and the city's going to wind up paying a wrongful death settlement in that case. Will Nikki Haley run for president? She says she will not run if Trump runs. Who's going to run, Nikki or Trump or neither?
I think Nikki Haley will run.
I think Trump is not running, and I think we will see her name in this in 2024.